All right, so we are in a very important Sunday in the life of our church, and before we talk about that, let me just mention this today. So in the greater Boston area, in Cambridge to be exact, there is a competition called the MIT 100K Entrepreneurship Competition. Has anybody ever heard of this before? It's kind of an interesting thing. Out east, I think it's kind of a big deal. Here in Minnesota, maybe not as much to us, but it is a student-managed business plan competition where undergraduates and postgraduates from various programs and all levels around Massachusetts, around the Massachusetts Institute for Technology, actually come and compete. Now, these students, they come in and they share a version of their sales pitch for their business idea, about their business idea or their business model. These are aspiring entrepreneurs, and they compete for the grand prize of $100,000, which for a student, postgraduate student, or maybe for any of us, that's a lot of money. It is a game-changing amount. And the first round of this competition is a 90-second sales pitch. It's like the elevator speech that they give to try to win people over around their business, okay? For these students, this $100,000 that could help start up their competition, it's a game changer. It's the opportunity of a lifetime, and it's got this reputation. People come from all over to compete. And so it made me wonder when I heard about this through the grapevine of different covenant colleagues out east, how much must these business young entrepreneurs practice to give their sales pitch? They probably prepare ad nauseum to some degree to give this 90-second compelling sales pitch for their business model. This is the true elevator pitch to win somebody over to win this competition and to start their business. Now, I bring this up because over the past 4 weeks throughout March, we've been in this series that it's entitled, This Is Us. And it's in a series that's unpacking from a biblical perspective our brand new mission, vision, and values document. And we started out discussing this month our mission statement, which says this: New City Covenant Church exists to inspire people to find and follow Jesus. You will hear me say that over and over because that is our mission. And to do this well, we've been talking about what it looks like to bless people. And you will see I'm wearing my Bless t-shirt today. Yes, thank you very much. A blazer as well, because Jamie and I like to be fashion conscious, right? I'm just kidding. You're supposed to laugh about that. But it is a bless kind of conversation. And we've been talking about that we are a blessed people to be a blessing. At the beginning of this month, we went all the way back to Abraham, and we talked about how God blessed him and blesses all of us to be a blessing to the world. The idea here is so important for our church in this season, that as Jesus followers, we are called to bless our neighbors, our families, our coworkers, instead of trying to fix them. It's a complete perspective shift, a disposition change. It's a mindset that we are called to be a blessing. And so far, we've unpacked the first four letters of the word bless. We talked at the beginning of the month of the word be, where we talked about how every good blessing moment stands for begin with prayer. That every person in our lives that the Lord has called us to bless, we must commit them to prayer. And I sent you out with these little bookmarks that are on the seats around the sanctuary today. We're going to be referencing those a little bit later. But what I asked you to write down those names of people that you're going to commit to praying for, that you could have an opportunity to bless. We then talked about the L, and the L stands for listen with care. And I said this, and I continue to say this, I think this is a very true statement. Listening well in our day and age today is one of the most countercultural things that we can do as Christians, because nobody wants to listen to each other. Everybody just wants to make their point, be right, and move on. But as we listen with care, we're actually a blessing to people. We talked about the E in the word bless, that it is, we are called to eat with people. We said that there's something incredibly sacred and special and beautiful that happens around table fellowship. And actually, New City Covenant Church has been built around such a value, a biblical value, that we're called to eat with one another, that life change can happen around the table fellowship. And then the last week, we were blessed to have Pastor Kerry Jacott here, who preached about the first S, which is to serve with love. And she challenged us to listen for where people are and find ways that we can serve them in their location, in their life right now, and that in that we can be a blessing to them as well. And then today we look at the last S and we conclude this part of our series. The last S stands for share your Jesus story. And this is generally an uncomfortable conversation for people, but we're going to dig into it today as well. Now, let me tell you, if I could be so bold, what will happen if you live into this bless model of your life? If you live into this, people in your life will begin to wonder why you are doing this. They will begin to wonder, why are you being so generous? Why are you being such a blessing to them? And eventually somebody will start to ask you questions like, why are you being so good to me, so nice to me, such a blessing to me? Why are you blessing us? And it's possible that a significant and deep conversation will begin. And when this question arises, what makes you so different from the rest of the world that you would selflessly give of yourself, you will have an opportunity to share your Jesus story. Jesus affects the deepest parts of who we are, our dreams, our failures, our joys, our challenges. And these are not conversations that people generally feel comfortable just with sharing with anybody. And in fact, sometimes they put up a wall. They don't want to go that deep. That's why we have such easy surface conversations with our coworkers. But a blessing mentality begs to go deeper. People are going to have some questions when they realize that you are living this life to be a blessing to them, especially if you've built this trust of a relationship with them. I found that people tend to ask why I believe what I believe when I'm sitting with them in different contexts that they're not used to having someone who follows Jesus be there. And they've thought a lot about these questions. Maybe they've had a bad experience with other Christians in the past, or a bad experience with the church, or maybe they're caught up into all the divides that we deal with in the world all the time. And they maybe don't feel comfortable discussing the deeper parts of their life. Other times I've heard people say outlandish things or maybe even true things about Christians, about the church, about different things about God. How can God allow suffering in the world? And sometimes these become a pathway to a serious conversation. I really believe that after we've built up enough trust, you never know how the conversation will go. And I love asking people about their faith or the lack of their faith. Why don't you believe? And not in an accusatory way, but an inviting way to hear their story and eager to hear what they share. This is exactly what we should expect when we live with a blessing mentality. When we begin with prayer, when we listen with care, when we eat together and we serve people with love, people will have questions and spiritual conversations will ensue. And what are we hoping that people will talk about? This is the most important conversation that we can have, because talking about Jesus is the most important conversation we can have in our lives. And we're talking about the story of God from creation to eternity, which, by the way, is the best conversation that we can have in the world. So the question becomes for all of us, and all of us joining online, how will you share your Jesus story that is real and relatable and makes any sense to any person who ever hears it, whether it's your family member, your brother, sister, mom, or dad, maybe it's your neighbor, your coworker. And the problem that I've experienced in my life and I've experienced with people in the church is that most of us haven't prepared to share our story. And we might end up sounding less than compelling. And maybe the question of the day is we just need to prepare better. Like the people who compete in the MIT 100K competition, we do all sorts of things to prepare for so many other things in our lives. We get extra training to do our jobs better. We practice for the different competitions that we might want to run in or participate in. We do things to get better at what we do every day. And yet we never think about practicing how we share a story about the life change that we've experienced with Jesus. We should be eager to prepare for that spiritual and frankly eternal conversation that we might get into today. 1 Peter chapter 3, I read this to the kids today, says this, always be prepared. What an indictment from Peter to us. And remember, Peter knew what it was like to fail. When he was asked about Jesus, he knew what it was like to fail. Remember when Jesus was arrested and three different times he was asked about, did you know Jesus? And he didn't know what to say. And he rejected God in that time and he regretted it. But we would see him learn his lesson. And in Acts chapter 2, when somebody asked him about the hope that he had, he preached the good news of Jesus and more than 2,000 people came to Christ that day. So Peter here says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Do this with gentleness and respect. Is anybody preaching gentleness and respect in the echo chambers that we live in everyday culture? Only Jesus, because that's the way we bless people. Always be prepared to give an answer. Now, there is a quote that I'm sure you've heard of from Francis of Assisi, and you've heard it before, and it says this, preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. Anybody heard that before? Not a lot of response today from, okay, well, it's an interesting one. Preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. Now, this quote has an interesting connection to what we're talking about today. The second S in bless, sharing our Jesus story, is necessary in order to bless people. But you might have heard this quote in a different way, in a subtle but very different kind of way. Sometimes we've heard this quote say this, preach the gospel at all times, if necessary, use words. You see the difference? When necessary, use words, or if necessary, use words. And I would actually think that we tend to prefer the if necessary version. Because then we can tell ourselves, if I just do a good job of living a good life, then my life will be a display of the good news of Jesus. If I'm a kind and basically helpful person, maybe I'll wear my blessed t-shirt, my Christian t-shirt. If I just put the right bumper sticker on my car, or if I just share the right social media post, maybe if I don't swear, maybe if I just do something kind of nice, the good news of Jesus will come around. Maybe then I don't really have to talk to anybody about God, because after all, that's the pastor's job, right? We tend to like the if version over the when version. And let's be honest, maybe some of you don't feel that comfortable talking about the Bible. Maybe you don't feel like you know enough about the Bible. Or maybe you just feel like you're not that great with words. I don't want to come across as some sort of fanatic like so many others in the world when it comes to God. But the truth is this, if we're beginning with prayer, listening with care, if we are eating with others, if we are serving people in love, then the opportunity for us to share our Jesus story and the story of God in our lives will be available to us. And these will be moments where words are necessary. And yes, we need to be wise and sensitive in the way that we say these things, but when we get the chance, we've got to take it. You cannot spell the word bless without the last S. Share the story of Jesus in your life. To bless the world like God wants us to, there will be times where words will be necessary. In Romans chapter 10, verse 14, it says this, how can people have faith in the Lord and ask him to save them if they've never heard him, about him? How can they hear unless someone tells them? And think about it. Can you imagine a relief organization saying, hey, our mission is to feed the hungry, if necessary, use food? Or what about a medical mission that says, care for the sick, if necessary, use medicine? Of course they wouldn't say those things. Use words when necessary was originally meant to encourage people to have their walk match their talk. But that's not most of our problems. The problem is that most of us don't want to have this talk with anybody about God or Jesus directly. I think we get so concerned about not coming across some sort of Jesus freak that we are silent on the biggest and the best news in the world. This is the best story that we have the privilege to share. I mean, are we really more concerned about what people think of us than whether or not they find and follow Jesus? This is the question of the day. Your story can make all the difference. I heard a story about a woman one time who used to be a self-described atheist. She felt that you had to be simple-minded and an uninformed person to believe in Jesus. Now, she's a committed Christ follower. And if you asked her about how that huge change happened in her life, she wouldn't tell you about the intellectual or the philosophical arguments that won her over. She'd easily dismiss those the rest of her life. What got her to believe in Christ, what swayed her more than anything, was that she had a friend, a close friend, who shared with her how Jesus had changed her life. And she didn't know what to do with that. She could dismiss all the philosophical arguments, all the theological arguments, she could dismiss it all, but her friend that she loved had a Jesus transformation story, and this woman could not dismiss it. In fact, it just sat there inside of her, tugging at her. She would say that her friend's story sort of lived in her heart and her mind for years, and that in her moments when she wrestled with the idea of God, a God who loved her, it was her friend's story of what God had done in her life that made all the difference. There are times when words are necessary. And most of those times come when we've developed a relationship with someone through prayer and listening and eating and serving together. Jesus changes lives. And one of those ways that he does it is through our stories. We're obviously not Jesus, but we have the Holy Spirit to follow, and the Holy Spirit does the work. But there is something about our life that will be intriguing when we share our Jesus story. It will keep tugging at people, and words will be necessary. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks, to give the reason for the hope that you have. Do this with gentleness and respect. So how do you do it? What are some simple ways to share our Jesus story? So a very, very simple tutorial, if you will, today. And there are literally hundreds of different models out there that Christians all across the world use to share their Jesus story. And I just want to offer a very short version of what this looks like. Three scenes, okay? There's three scenes that I would encourage you to develop a 90-second to 2-minute version of your story. What was your life like before Christ? What was it that led you, secondly, to Jesus? And what has your life been like since? It's a before, during, and after story. What was your life before Christ? What led you to Jesus? And what's your life been like since? Just tell your story. And you don't have to have a story like, you know what, I used to be a drug-dealing Satan worshiper that, you know, used to whatever, drive people off the road and go crazy. But ever since I found Jesus, now I pray 10 hours a day and read my Bible cover to cover every month, right? That's not a relatable story. Actually, your regular, random story is super relatable to people and very inviting. And of course, there's varying degrees of when we share our Jesus story. That verse I just read that says what is central to the story of every Christ follower is this, that you have set Christ aside as Lord of your heart. This is the central point of what it means to believe and follow Jesus, that we've set Christ aside as Lord of our heart. And when we set Christ aside and Lord of your heart, it makes us different. You can't follow Jesus without being different. You handle your finances differently. You handle your relationships differently. Your approach to work and your career, your family, the way we raise our kids, the way we experience the world, it's different because of Jesus. Thank you, God. And this is as good a time as any to say this. If you've met Jesus and it didn't really change you, it maybe wasn't Jesus that you met. If you're a Christ follower and following Christ hasn't really changed you, whoever you're following, it's probably not Jesus. At the very least, finding your way back to God in Jesus means that you can no longer put your hope in any sort of religious activity or any sort of personal morality. for your eternity, for your hope, for your purpose. Our only hope is in God's only Son, His life, His death, His resurrection. And what a word as we are about to enter into Holy Week. We celebrate the life of Christ, and we lament and celebrate His death, and of course then celebrating His resurrection. So maybe for you, getting ready to bless others by sharing your story means doing some soul searching about whether or not you really set aside Christ as Lord in your heart, at the very core of who you are. Whenever you get the chance, share your Jesus story. Start with how things used to be before you found your way back to God. Then talk about how it was when you started following Jesus. And then talk about how different your life is now that you have been following Christ. Your life does not have to have all sorts of rainbow stories or cupcake kind of life. It doesn't have to be all easy. Just keep it real and tell your story. Sharing your story is not about feeling comfortable doing it. It's about being willing to tell your story, about being obedient to the people that God has brought into your life. It's okay if you don't feel like it or have thought through, or the thought of it kind of freaks you out, but I encourage you, even as I encourage myself, to ask God to begin with prayer and ask God for opportunities to share our story and be willing to share our story with whoever we can. God is the one who makes our story go deep into somebody's life. Ask God to bring about opportunities your way, particularly with the people that you are listening to, praying for, eating with, and serving. Just be yourself. And ask this question: do I care more about my own comfort of what others think about me, or do I care about if people actually find and follow Jesus? One of the things that we can ask, of all the things that we can ask God for, what could we ask God for that's more important than helping Him to bless others by giving us a chance to share our Jesus story? And in this, I want to give you a chance to respond today. This has been a really important moment for us as a church, that we talk about our mission. We talk about how we're called to bless people. And I want to give you a chance to respond today. Earlier this month, when we started this series, we passed out these little bookmarks. And on these bookmarks, we said, take one, and it just gives you the kind of the blessed pattern on it. But on the back, there is a place for you to write two different names of maybe two or three different people, if you'd like, of different people that God has put in your life that you are called to bless. And we ask you to put their names on it to be praying for. Well, we are part of a denomination called the Covenant Church. And all across the denomination, every spring, the Covenant practices and celebrates this effort together, because we believe that blessing people, sharing our Jesus story, is an important part of who we are as a church. And so what I want to give you a chance to do today is, Jamie's going to come on up and he's going to lead us in our last song of worship. And what I'd like you to do is respond. And there are people in your lives that God has put there that you are called to be a blessing to. And so Jamie's going to lead us in our last song. And I'd like you to write the names of these people on your little bookmark. And when you're ready, and there's no pressure at all, if you don't feel comfortable doing this, but I'd like you to take a step outside of that comfort zone. But when you're ready, I'm going to bring our little table down here, and we'll just put it here. And I'd like you to bring these names kind of figuratively to the foot of the cross and lay them at the feet of Jesus. And I would like you to submit these names to the Lord and ask God to give you a chance to share your Jesus story. And then here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take these cards and I'm going to send them to our denomination, which all of our Covenant churches do every spring. And then at our annual meeting in June, when all 900 Covenant churches send delegates and we get together to kind of do the business of the church, during one of the worship services, they actually take these cards that are collected, they lay them out on an altar, and they pray over them. And this is one of the beautiful things about being connected to a wider body of Christ. And we get to participate in this today. So just take a few minutes, and Jamie, you can go ahead and start leading us. I'll get the altar set. And when you're ready, come on forward. There's different cards around the room. If you want to put down multiple names, you can. There's pens in the chairs in front of you. And we'd love to participate in this together. So when you're ready, come forward, and Jamie will lead us in our final worship today.